This morning we're going to take a look at the account in Matthew of the Magi or the wise men. There's much that we don't know about the Magi or the wise men. We have a number of assumptions that we kind of make about them as we talk about the Christmas story. We usually place them at the stable when Jesus is born and he's in the manger. We usually number them as three wise men. Tradition has given them names. I read this week that supposedly their skulls are on display in the Cathedral of Cologne, Germany, placed there by a bishop in the 12th century. I'm not quite sure how he knew what skulls he had. Obviously, I don't hold to that tradition too much. But we make some assumptions. There were three gifts, we find that in the scripture today. But we really don't know how many men, though it seems that there was a significant entourage that came because they were noticed in Jerusalem. And it says that they arrived sometime after Jesus' birth, probably when he was living in a more permanent residence, possibly around the age of two, that the Magi came. And when we read the scripture today, you can check that out and see how it might line up. We don't really know for sure about all those things. But let's read the scripture today. The message this morning is Profile of a God Seeker. Maybe there's some things we don't always have clear about God seekers either. But let's read the scripture. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Profile of a God seeker. That's what I want to talk about this morning. God seekers. What's your profile of a God seeker? Of whom do you say, "I wonder if that person is a Christian"? Or, "That person really seems to be seeking the truth"? Or, of whom do you say, "That person could never change"? Or would never be interested in spiritual matters? What's a God seeker look like to you? And why does Matthew tell this strange story of the Magi at the birth of Jesus? They're astrologers, after all. They look to the stars to learn things. When I was in fifth and sixth grade, I had a paper route. When it was time to fold the papers, I liked to read the papers. That's why it took me so long to do my paper route. I'd read before I folded. I think my brother got done in half the time I did because he folded the papers and delivered them right away. But I got into reading the astrology, the horoscopes in the paper. I was convicted of that in fifth or sixth grade. I said, I shouldn't be doing this. I didn't really believe it, but it just didn't seem like something I ought to be doing. So I quit doing it and said, I'm not doing that. These are astrologers. They look for truth and understanding among the stars. They don't fit our mold of God worshipers. They're more like pagans. Magi could be magicians as well. Some could have been charlatans, but some, and I believe these, were earnestly seeking the truth, or seeking truth. None of the other Gospels record this story. And certainly Matthew knew of Jeremiah 10:1-2, and Isaiah 47:13-15, which forbid or mock astrology for trusting in such things rather than trusting in God. Yet evidently in their hearts, these seekers recognize that there's more to this world than meets the eye. They're seeking the truth about God, about his purposes for the world. They've come to worship Jesus. It says that they worshiped him. They didn't just come. It said they were seeking the one who is born King of the Jews, but it says they came and worshiped him. They weren't just paying some political homage. It wasn't just that they heard there's a king and now we ought to come and honor this earthly king. They were seeking something more than that. The words that are used for worship in this scripture are the words that are used when we talk about worshiping God. The Magi are spiritual seekers. They're seeking God. Many churches today are targeting spiritual seekers. They believe that people in our society today actually do care about spiritual matters, at least some people, that they're looking for something more than materialism and power, fame, and comfort in life. They want something more out of life. They believe that God is active in people's lives, drawing them and revealing himself to them. Do you believe that God is active in people's lives, drawing them? They believe that God wants to use them in revealing himself. In other words, there's churches that say God wants to use us in revealing himself to these people, to these seekers. So they shape their churches as places where people can safely seek God, safely try to find what they're looking for. This story here about the Magi, it foretells that the gospel is being taken not only to the Jews here, but this is a gospel message that's going to go to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are really the pagans in this day. I think that's one of the reasons that Matthew included this story. This gospel message goes out beyond the Jewish people. So the Magi are spiritual seekers. Who are the spiritual seekers today? God seekers may be the most unlikely people. We might not recognize them sometimes. Becky Pippert was a woman who was an evangelist who worked for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Quite a few years ago, she wrote a book, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. You can guess who she's talking about. He's talking about us people in the church getting out to share the good news with people in the world. And she talks about a few people. She talks about unlikely people, people that you think would have no interest in hearing the gospel, people who you wouldn't think would be perhaps seeking God. She tells one experience she has at O'Hara Airport, where she had dropped some things out of her purse, and as she was putting it in, a woman stopped by and said, "Do you know where I can find a drink around here?" And then ask her, do you know how much it costs to get a drink around here? And Becky found herself saying, how about if I go buy you a drink and we talk? And so she helped her find the bar there in the airport. And they talked a bit together. Seemed like an unlikely person. This is what she says. I wondered what I should do now that I was in the bar with the nervous woman I had just met. I realized that Jesus would probably be more concerned about why she needed a drink than about going into a tavern. I knew that if I couldn't be at ease around her when she had a drink in her hand and allow God to lead me into what he perceived as a mission field, then I wouldn't be very effective in communicating God's unconditional love. She was recognizing here this unusual person, this person who doesn't seem like a likely God seeker, may be just the person who's seeking God. And I'm to be here to share God's unconditional love with them. She talked about another woman who she met on a bus. She sat down and she tried to open conversation with the lady, and the lady just seemed dead. No interest in talking, and so she said, I'm just going to work on a message that I'm preparing here. And she started to work on that, and about time she started to work on that, to her surprise, the lady said, what in the world are you doing? You look very busy. What are you writing? And they began to talk, and she found out that the woman was very lonely. As they began to talk, the woman said, look, girl, you talk about lonely. I'm so lonely I want to die. Half the time I feel I already have. What I said about loving, having lots of friends, because she'd acted like she had it all together. Yeah, well, I don't. Nobody cares. My heart is bad, and when I feel funny, I run outside, because if I die, at least somebody would know. She had some conversations. She had some opportunity to minister. The students that she ministered with in her varsity had opportunity to minister with this woman, an unlikely God seeker. Sometimes we don't know what the God seeker looks like. The question I have this morning is, will you be open to God showing you spiritual seekers this next year? Who are the spiritual seekers? One of the things that we as the elders are focusing on, really the thing that we're focusing on this year, is outreach. How do we reach out as a church? How do we open ourselves to spiritual seekers, to those who are being drawn to Christ? How do we be a part of that ministry that Christ has? Will you be open to even those people who seem like the most unlikely God seekers around you? I mean, who would have considered the Samaritan woman at the well as a God seeker? You remember her? The woman at the well that Jesus opened up a conversation with? The woman who was known around town as the woman with the fifth man who wasn't even her husband now? A God seeker. She's the one that goes back and tells the whole village, look who I've found, when she finds Jesus. Or when Jesus finds her. God seekers may be the most unlikely people. The Magi were God seekers. And God leads seekers to Jesus. That's what God does. He honors the search for truth. He leads the Magi to Jesus. In Matthew 7, this is what Jesus says, Matthew 7:7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Our God is a revealing God. He's one that opens himself up to those who seek him. He leads them. So as we aid others in seeking God, as we open ourselves up to others who may be God seekers, we can trust that God will be leading them, that God's Spirit will be working in them. And we can also trust that as we seek God, that he leads us to Jesus. We can trust that. God leads seekers to Jesus. The other thing that I find from these Magi is that God seekers are journey people. They're journey people. They're on a journey. For the Magi, seeking Jesus meant setting out on a journey, knowing who they were seeking. They were seeking the King of the Jews, But they didn't know exactly who this king of the Jews was. They didn't know exactly where they were going. Evidently, they knew they were going to Jerusalem, but Jesus wasn't there. They would have expected that he would be in Jerusalem if he's a king. They didn't know where they would end up. They didn't know where all they would go in the meantime. Being a spiritual seeker is a lifelong journey. Seeking doesn't end when we find Christ, when we give our lives to Christ, when he comes into our hearts. Seeking doesn't end there. We continue to seek. It's a journey. Sometimes I take little journeys. My family was here last week, and so we went up to the Alabama swamps, the Iroquois National Wildlife Preserve. Thank you. I kind of wondered, why haven't I been there before? I haven't been there since I've lived around here. I think I'm always thinking I want to go off to the mountains somewhere or something like that. Who wants to go to a swamp? But we went up there, and so I'd looked at a map to see what trails were there and that sort of thing so we could go and take a hike, and I didn't know exactly how long we were going to go. I knew we were going just to see nature and enjoy walking in nature, but I didn't know exactly what we would find. I'd picked out some trails we were going to follow, but we didn't end up two of them. One of them we walked on, and the other one we thought we were going to, we didn't, but we went to another one we didn't think we were going to. It was kind of a journey. One of the kids didn't go along and asked me how long we'd be gone. I said, I don't know, at least 2 hours, but maybe it'll be more. It was more than 2 hours. It was a journey. On a journey, you kind of, your plans get changed, you discover new things. Things that you thought would be there really aren't there. Seekers are journey people. Throughout this journey, the Magi are guided. They're guided by a star. They're guided by a dream from God. God changed their plans. They returned by a different way. Seekers learn new truth, and it changes their lives. If we're God seekers, we're to be journey people. We continue seeking. Perhaps these Magi didn't know all of who Jesus is, but they were looking beyond themselves. They were looking for God and for his truth as they proclaimed Jesus as the King of the Jews. This new route was probably, that they were asked to take as they left, was probably more rugged, less direct than if they had gone back through Jerusalem and reported to Herod. But God in a dream told them, take another route. Go this way. And Matthew seems to be setting up a contrast here between these strange and unlikely Gentile God seekers and Herod and the Jewish religious leaders. The Jewish religious leaders are apathetic. They knew all the right answers, but they had no heart for searching for the Christ child. They knew where he was supposed to be born. He was to be born in Bethlehem, they said. Why weren't they searching in Bethlehem for the Christ child? By outer appearances, it would have seemed like these religious leaders were the God seekers. But they were apathetic. What about us? Are we God seekers? I want to be a God seeker. I don't want to be like those religious leaders. Lots of people would say by outer appearance, I'm a God seeker. But I don't want to be apathetic. I don't want to just by outer appearance be a God seeker. God seekers are passionate. And I'm not just talking about they're real emotional. I mean, they put themselves into it. The Magi journeyed long across mountains and deserts in their search. They gave that which they treasured to Jesus. It was part of their response of joy. They had found this King of the Jews. There's a tale told of an English actor, MacReady, lived in the 1800s. A preacher once said to him, "I wish you could explain to me something." "Well, what is it?" he said. "I don't know that I can explain anything to a preacher." "Can you explain things to a preacher?" He said, "What's the reason for the difference between you and me? You are appearing before crowds night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. I'm preaching the essential and the unchangeable truth, and I'm not getting any crowd at all." MacReady's answer was this: "This is quite simple. I can tell you the difference between us. I present my fiction as though it were truth. You present your truth as though it were fiction." I hope I'm not doing that, but I hope that we're not doing that in the way that we live. I hope we're passionate about seeking God, that we really live the truth that we proclaim. What was up with Herod in this story? The problem with Herod was that Jesus was a threat to his kingship. This little baby was a threat to Herod's kingship. It was really only in his state of paranoia. Herod was paranoid. Herod had killed all kinds of people. He put his own sons in prison. He had killed some of his own sons. He was afraid that they were going to kill him to take the throne. He was paranoid about everybody. And so when he hears about this one born to be king of the Jews, and he knew he was not in the line of descent to truly be a king of the Jews, he was paranoid about that. That's why he wants to know about from the wise men, where do you find him? Where is he at? Herod had no intention of giving up his throne. True seekers must be ready to give up the throne to Christ. That's what I mean by passionate. We give up the throne of our lives to Christ. Just like Herod, we can be kind of paranoid about what that means. If I give it all up to Jesus, what will that mean? God seekers are passionate. And God rewards the seeker. He rewarded the Magi. As they sought Jesus, they found him. They weren't disappointed by the result of their journey. They were filled with joy, it says, at finding Jesus. As we seek God, we will not be disappointed. We're rewarded as we seek God. It's a strange story that Matthew relates to us here. But it tells us something about Jesus. It tells us something about those who seek God. And my question is, who are the God seekers around us that we may not be able to see because of their outer appearance? Will we listen to God, let God open our hearts and open our minds and our eyes to see people who may be God seekers and open ourselves up to them, to share with them the love and the message of Christ? Be a part of their lives in that way, a part of what God is doing. And who are you most like this morning in this account from Matthew? Are you like Herod? Is Jesus a threat to your lifestyle? Are you like the Jewish leaders? Are you coasting along, not really caring, satisfied with life as it is? Are you like the Magi who are seeking the King of the Jews? And no matter who you identify with, who you may feel like you've been this past year, who do you want to be this year? We can all choose to be a God seeker this year. We can all choose to be like the Magi, those who are seeking the truth, those that know that we're still on a journey and that there's others that God is bringing along that join us and that we join in with. So this year, be a God seeker and keep your eyes and your heart open for other God seekers. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much that we don't know about these magi. And there's so much that we don't know about other people as we encounter them in life. And yet, Lord, many of them are seeking something more, Lord. They're seeking truth. And so I ask, Lord, that in this coming year that you would open our hearts, open our minds, our eyes to those who are seeking you, Lord. Even if it doesn't look to us like they're seeking you. Father, cause us to not be afraid to reach out, to offer them the love that you've given to us, to offer them the message of Christ that you have shared with us. And Father, remind us that we are still seeking you. We have Christ, and yet we still seek you, Lord. We need you in our lives. We need you to continue to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to show us truth. Father, help us not to be afraid of giving up the throne of our lives to you, to be able to trust you, to know that you reward those who seek you. You always lead us. You lead us to Jesus. You lead us to your heart. And so thank you. Father, I lift up each one here, that as each one seeks you, that you would reveal yourself. Father, thank you for the great love that we find in Jesus, the King of the Jews, the King of the universe, the King of all creation. Lord, may we make him the King of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.